But one of the problems has been that because of the credit crunch, there's been another effect operating on the economy in addition to the interest rate effect, i.e. the inability to obtain funds either for business investment purposes or for housing purposes. Okay. So there's been two offsetting effects, if you like. Lower interest rates, which are stimulating domestic demand, we would hope, but the credit crunch, because of the inability to obtain funds, actually reduces demand back down again. And that's basically what's been happening. That's been why we're going into depression. We have been in a recession for some time. Because of that inability to raise funds, despite the low levels of interest rates, domestic demand has been very low. So in the United Kingdom at the moment, GDP or domestic demand is falling by something around about 4 or 5% a year, which is one of the strongest recessions which we've had for many, many years. Now, there is a slight offset to that, because if we take over to here, if demand is low, what we'd expect to happen from that is it reduces inflationary pressures in the economy. Okay? So if demand is low relative to supply in the economy, standard demand and supply analysis will tell us that prices should start to fall in the economy. And that's exactly what we've had. On some measures of inflation in the economy over the last 6 months or so, prices have actually been falling in the economy. And it's a reflection of the fact that domestic demand has been very weak, putting downward pressure on prices. Now, normally, we think that low rates of inflation are a good thing for the economy. That's what the Bank of England tries to achieve through its monetary policy. It tries to keep inflation low. But you can go too far from that. Negative inflation, i.e. when inflation is actually falling, is actually just as bad as having too strong inflation. And the reason is that if prices are falling, and you notice that prices are falling in the shops, what are you going to do? Well, most of us would say, okay, if I think that next week the price of a particular good is going to be lower because inflation's falling, I'm going to wait until next week to buy that good until the price has fallen. And there's evidence that that's happened. But if that happens, it means that demand is going to be even lower than it would otherwise have been the case. So you set up some sort of a vicious circle in these things that, again, that lower demand will push prices down even further. So the point being is the Bank of England and the government doesn't actually like negative inflation just as much as it doesn't like the more traditional problem of positive inflation. Right. Let's, with that background, a bit of economics thrown in here, let's sort of start to talk about how the credit crunch crisis actually rose and what's the relation of this to the subprime mortgage problem. Okay, now this originally was very much a United States problem. Okay, and one of the things which we have to explain is why that problem, which was primarily US-based, should have such strong effects across the rest of the world. You know, why was it mitigated or transmitted across the rest of the world? We have to go back to this as a little bit of basics to sort of see this. Well, firstly, what is a subprime loan? Well, a subprime loan is essentially the granting of usually a mortgage to households who have a rather bad credit history. Okay? So, you know, if you've got a very bad credit rating or whatever, and you wander along to your bank and ask for a loan, the chances are that you won't get that loan. Okay? So a subprime loan is a sort of a complementary market for credit which specialises in providing loans to people who have impaired credit histories. And normally, under most conditions, you'd expect to pay a higher interest rate on your mortgage if you went to that market than you would from the traditional market, simply because you're a higher risk than a standard borrower.